I had quietly hoped that one of the brothers would come to the front to bring the word of the Lord, even if it was just a testimony. You all know that testimonies are necessary. The word is preached. People experience what is presented in the sermon from God. And afterwards, they testify about what they have experienced. And that is simply always part of it. Nothing is more beautiful than a meeting where you always hear new testimonies of what God has done. We want to become such people. What he did 30, 40 or 20 years ago was good. Others have testified. Perhaps we have already done so in part. But fresh testimonies are always the best. You all know that, when was it? Last Wednesday evening, we only heard a short word of greeting from Brother Reinhold Illing from Poland. In Switzerland, I heard much more from the brother who was with him. And we really hope that God will begin a triumphal march, a victory march for the truth, with the truth, in the truth. And we know that God will come to his right. You too were blessed, as I know and have heard. In Zurich, people told me, I will tell you what they have said before the service. I was very tired. And there are people who tell you the truth straight to your face. And there were some who said, Brother Frank, you look terrible. And others, you look so worn out. And always along those lines. And that was no comfort to me. But I knew that they were all right. But when we fight for the truth. Earlier, I was thinking to myself, Brother Branham or John the Baptist, the prophet Elijah, and many others had it very good. One could retreat to the desert and appear whenever the Spirit of God wanted him to. Another went hunting or fishing whenever he felt like it. And others also did things in their free time, if I may use that word, in reference to servants of God. The question is whether a servant of God has free time, whether he is allowed to have it, whether he is allowed to take holidays, whether he is allowed to go on vacation. It actually happened in America. A large sign was nailed to the door, which was also a wooden door, like here with us. And it said, Pastor is on vacation, and so on, meaning the shepherd is on holiday, the meetings are cancelled. And a talented singer saw the sign and immediately wrote a song about it with reference to God. You find God always at home. He never takes a holiday. He never travels. He is always there. He wrote four verses, repeating over and over. And when your pastor is on holiday, you will find God at home, turn to him. That's what people do who are inspired by the Spirit of God. Very beautiful verses. I always enjoy listening to the song. But the question was whether it can be so, whether it should be so. When someone tells me to take a holiday or rest, I say, I promise you, I will definitely do that, and I will do it right by the sea. And then people listen by the sea and ask, where are you going? And I say, by the crystal sea. And then, of course, they look again and listen to what I say. But tonight, I really intended to listen. Can you believe that? Oh yes, I have the right to hear God's word sometimes, not just preach it all the time. First, I would like to know if there are any questions among us. Does anyone have a biblical question? Then raise your hand, so I know. One, who else? All right, then I would really like to ask, if any brothers, starting with Brother Rus, have a brief word or testimony, please feel free to share. What is the question? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. Is that the question? That is the question. That is then the question about church order, about biblical church order, about biblical church discipline. Of course, I would have had little time now to find the necessary scriptures. But for example, in Matthew 18, the Lord Himself gives instructions on what is to be done, including admonishment, to which Paul then also refers. And here he is certainly also referring to 1 Corinthians 5. We will see whether this applies, but it probably does. In Matthew 18, it is written from verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. This statement clearly indicates that he has done something that would cause him to be lost. There must therefore be a transgression of the word that brings with it condemnation, and condemnation brings punishment. So it cannot be something like someone pulling a face. The Bible does not say that he should be rebuked because he got out of bed with his right foot first, but because he has done something that is judged and condemned as sin by the Word of God. And then such a person must be rebuked. I will read it again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Perhaps we have not emphasized and stressed this as much as we should have done, especially this area of the local church. And perhaps I have not done so because I was not instructed to do so. The instruction was literally, do not establish local churches. I am not a shepherd of this local church. I can serve together with my brothers, but my commission is to go from city to city, preaching the word and distributing the stored food. We have said this very clearly in this place, perhaps not in the last 2 or 3 months, but certainly in the last 2 or 3 years. I am asked again and again, yes, tell us how we should do it in the local church. And I have to say the same thing over and over again. I'm sorry, that's not my job. And I will be careful not to take on a foreign office when it comes to the proclaiming the prophetic word, the counsel of God, the things that are really on the divine agenda right now. That is something that God has simply entrusted to me, that has been given to me without my doing anything. When it comes to the building up the local church, it is my prayer that God will raise up brothers. They are already there. They just need to make themselves available to God and be willing to do His will, not their own, and God will take care of the rest. I must say that the local church is a sincere concern of my heart. And I truly wish that a biblically based, functioning local church could arise in this place with all ministries, with all offices, with elders, with deacons, with everything as it should be according to the Bible. Are you all for this? This is where it must begin. But as I just said, there are people who have certain limitations. For example, Paul wrote at one point, I thank God that I baptized no one except the household of Titus, for God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. There are people who have been appointed by God for a very specific ministry, and God equips them for this. He guides their thoughts through His Spirit in this divine direction. No one else can walk this path. No one else can take on this task. It cannot be taught. It cannot be learned. it must be given by God. And we have also heard this from Brother Branham. You remember the vision he had, or rather someone else had, probably Junior Jackson. He saw someone riding on a big white horse, and then someone else tried to push Brother Branham away and ride the horse himself. And Brother Branham said, in his interpretation, no one has the right to do that unless he has been ordained by God. And that was the end. The end had come. The one who wanted to couldn't. And the one who was sent by God went on in his commission. Then there are elders within the local church who have different gifts, one of exhortation, another of teaching. There too, diversity is necessary, because the needs and tasks in a local church are greater than in an evangelistic meeting. When I say that here today, I mean it. When I speak to 10,000 people in a single meeting, I don't know a single problem of any of those 10,000 people. But when I speak here in front of 100 people, I probably know the problems of all 100, or maybe only 10, but I know them. So I can carry out my task there without feeling burdened or hindered in my ministry. So it will be our main task tonight, if that has already been touched upon by the question, that God here in our midst, from the material available here, forms something, does something, and that everyone is well disposed towards everyone else, and everyone stands behind everyone else, and everyone knows that the other is with and for them, without having to emphasize it. And Brother Rus, I say this to you from up here. Do not believe that there is a single person in the congregation who is not well disposed towards you. Reject this thought as coming from Satan. Free yourself from it, and you will see that things will move forward with the help of the Lord. Say Amen. Did you hear that? Everyone. Let everyone say Amen again, then say it again. It can happen. I only said that, beloved brother, because I heard you a little here at the moment when I made the remark, whether it was a sigh or a groan. No, it shall be no more. We love one another in divine love, just as we are. And I ask everyone, including myself and those of us who are standing here at the front, we read Psalm 139 together, and there is a wonderful verse there. I wanted to read it, or rather I must read it now, to emphasize the point. It is verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Neither yours nor mine nor anyone else's substance was hidden from God. And God made each one as he is. And just as God has accepted us in Christ, so we accept one another in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have no brother to transform or reshape, but to honor, value, respect, and accept as he is. Amen. And that is simply necessary in order to move forward with the Lord. Just as we cannot change a person's earthly form, their height, the shape of their nose, whatever it may be, the only thing we could all have a little influence on would be our weight. But we don't place any importance on that. This is about something completely different. This is about no longer knowing anyone according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul said, and even if we had known Christ according to the flesh, just imagine, there were brothers, our brothers, Peter, John, and all the others, a stone's throw away from our Savior as he struggled in Gethsemane, when his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. They saw our Lord in his humanity, in his struggle. But I tell you, after the resurrection, they ate and drank with him, and they no longer thought of the struggle. They saw the victor of Golgotha, the risen Lord, who had overcome death, defeated hell, and destroyed the devil, and who was now alive in their midst. And that is why Paul also said, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we do not know him now in that way. And the same applies to all of us. If we want God to come into his own, then we must give him the opportunity to do so. And we all know very well from an earthly point of view, but let's just take the three of us who have been serving here in the same place for decades. How different are our natures from one another? Yeah, just imagine, Brother Rus, and then think for a moment, that's how Brother Frank should be. Huh, what would that be like? And then imagine Brother Frank and say, huh, that's how Brother Rus should be. And then imagine Brother Schmidt and say, Brother Rus and Brother Frank should be like Brother Schmidt, then everything would be fine. That's not possible. Brother Schmidt must be as Brother Schmidt is, and I don't have the slightest criticism of him. Brother Rus must be exactly as he is. I don't know what I could criticize about him. Yes, in relation to myself, why should I apply a different standard? I have to be the way I am. And that's it. And the same applies to all of us, to all brothers and sisters. We must respect and accept one another in the love of God, just as we are. Coming back to the question and the word here in Matthew 18, it is indeed the case that if anyone truly belongs to the Church of the Living God and has been baptized into the body of the Lord by the Spirit, but then does something wrong and refuses to receive or accept the word of admonition from a brother, and two brothers go with him and tell him, and even that does not help, then he must be brought before the church biblically, if he even comes at all. For the most part, once someone has set the wrong course, they have little chance of ever coming back, unless they return to the starting point where things took their course. He cannot get back on track along the way. He flies off the rails. Brother Branham also said, you must return to the starting point and begin again from there. But talk to anyone today about church order. If you even say to these people, it is written that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, they will laugh at you. They will say, assembling together? I am much better off at home. That is an antichrist spirit in a pious guise, which is on the way of destruction. The Spirit of God will always agree with the Word of God and will bring people into agreement with the Word of God. If anyone expects God to walk with them in this way, no and again no. Why is it written? They have forsaken the right way. So it is written. And what have they done? They seek teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. Here in this place too, if they had acted biblically, the congregation would still be here today, completely, without any compromise. And the time must come and will come when God will come into His own in the local church. I believe in the existence of local churches. Paul wrote to local churches, whether in Ephesus, Corinth, or elsewhere. There were local churches everywhere, and they are biblical. The difference is that I am not commissioned to establish local churches in other cities because I could not possibly take care of them all. Otherwise, I would have my hands full, and that is not my commission. The Lord God knew what He was doing and what He was saying and what He wanted to be done. But all those people who are really not ready to listen, do not believe that you can break away and still have everything that comes after, and then still think that you can be part of the Church of the Living God. No, that is not possible. God has local churches. God has a universal church. And that is part of the biblical pattern. And all who belong to the Church of the Living God will bow to it. They will submit to it. There will be no rebellion in them. Because once we have become part of something, truly part of it, how can we turn against that of which we are a part? Then the kingdom would have become divided and could not have existed. So, the biblical order is this. If someone does something wrong, it should not be carried into the village or the city. But the brother who hears it first should go and talk to him. And as Paul later explains, with a gentle spirit. Here too, it is important to know how to talk to people. If he does not listen, the brother takes one or two others with him. If he still does not listen, it is brought before the church, and then it is written, then let him be to you as a heathen and a publican. For a person cannot accept God in his heart if he turns against his word and deviates from it. So we must connect what is written here in 2 Corinthians 10 with the word just read, and also with that in 1 Corinthians 5. Here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you read the last chapter of Romans, the last verses, Paul says, God has made me a minister to work obedience of faith among the Gentiles. Go to the word, which certainly fits here. Here in 1 Corinthians 5, there was actually a young man who lived with his mother in a marital relationship, and this was punishable by death in the law of Moses. It was incest. It was not allowed. And here is a young man who takes his father's wife as his wife and does not let anything tell him anything. And then Paul says, this man we hand over to Satan. Rightly so, he did not let himself be told. Here it is written, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. If he is warned, and warned again, and it comes before the church, and it is a transgression of the word of God, then order must be established in the house of God. God is a God of order. This cannot be allowed to happen in the house of God. And then, if you continue reading the entire chapter, it is written here, you can also read verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This was a spirit-baptized person, and this spirit was to be saved on the day of Jesus Christ, for it is impossible for the Spirit of God to be lost. So the spirit should be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. Notice, it does not say on the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is something else, but on the day of the Lord Jesus. That is the day of Jesus Christ, when he returns to take his own. Now it continues. In verse, yes, you can read from verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. Here is a whole list. If you meet someone, as is the case here, who willfully transgresses God's word and disregards God's laws, and then a young man comes along, as was the case here, and takes his father's wife, let's say it as it is, who has grown old or older, and he takes her and feels comfortable doing so, transgressing the word of God. That is not acceptable. It could not be tolerated. But even back then, church discipline was probably a weak point. They wanted to keep the people, and what they kept were not believers, but rebellious people. Hence the many problems in the church at Corinth. When we read in Romans or in Ephesians, we see a completely different structure. The subject matter is completely different. Here a whole series of people are even classified as deceivers and idolaters. When we include all these words in other passages of the Bible, we know how much weight they carry. And today there are certainly enough people who let everything fall through the sieve and perhaps retain one thing that has been misinterpreted. But even a slanderer has no place in the Church of the Living God. And I ask you all, let us take God's word seriously in its entirety, once and for all, in its entirety. And then we will fare better, and soon, perhaps very well, as it says here, a deceiver, a fornicator, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, a robber, and so on. Do not even eat with such a person. Here Paul then explains in verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Someone will say, how should judgment be carried out here? According to what standards? Who will be the jury and the judges? And who will sit in judgment? No one here needs to sit on the left or on the right. Here only the word of God needs to be clearly proclaimed. And Jesus said, I will not judge you on that day, but the word that I have proclaimed to you will be your judge on that day. The word pronounces the judgment, not man. The word has the authority, not the preacher, not the brother. The word has divine authority. And before anyone can exercise this divine authority, he must be sure that he is judging clearly on the basis of the Holy Scriptures in the light of the Word. And then it is not man we are dealing with, but the living God who gives us a chance to be set right. Who can you say anything to today? Be honest. Who would you want to admonish today? The first person would immediately say, mind your own business. then it would all be over again. The fear of God has departed from people. And I said it years ago, the fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom. And it says in the book of Acts, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and great fear came upon every soul. There was fear of God in the church, and the people were blessed. So, returning to the word that was asked as a question, Paul expresses himself very clearly here. He says, we do not fight according to the flesh, measured by human standards, prescribed by human rules, but we fight with spiritual weapons to destroy everything that stands against the knowledge of God, not against yours and mine, not against a Roman or Protestant knowledge, but everything that stands against the knowledge of God must be destroyed with a sword of the Spirit, with the weapons of God. And the Holy Scriptures also speak of this. Then the Apostle explains, we take every stronghold and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. A prisoner of Christ is one who has been set free from Satan. Only when God has set you and me and us completely free are we prisoners of Jesus Christ. And Paul could say, I, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The devil struck him with his fists. That is true. But he had no right to him. And the same must happen to us. Whether the devil beats us with his fists or kicks us with his feet, it is all the same to me. What is important is that he has no right over me, and he has completely lost his right. We believe this because Christ redeemed us. He paid the price on Golgotha. This is stated very clearly here. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Yes, all. Anyone as a human being can run a stop sign or can be disobedient. Children can be disobedient. Anyone can be disobedient at times. This is about real things that concern the word and the kingdom of God. This is not about straining at a net to let the elephant pass through, but really having the grace to discern what God really requires of us, and then responding to it and knowing that we have to fulfill it, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled, first, obedience must be restored in everyone. A respect, an honor for every word of God, no matter where it is written, to whom it was written or addressed. I cannot say today, Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he wrote this to Titus, and he wrote this to Philemon. I must say today, he addressed this to me. And it is the same with every letter to the churches. One cannot simply say, huh, the Lord said this to the church so-and-so. Every word that was addressed to every church has been given by God to every church at every time. And we bow down and submit ourselves to that. So our obedience must be completely established so that we are even able to punish disobedience. How are we to do that? The greatest punishment that can befall a true child of God on earth is to be cast out of the congregation. Anyone who can jump for joy because they no longer belong to the church has either lost their mind, has never been a believer, or does not know what they are doing. A person who is cast out of the church, and this is not my saying, it is what the scriptures say, we read it earlier, such a person is to be regarded as a heathen, as a publican. And thus, a person who does not submit to the divine church order and discipline automatically places himself outside the church. And then it is not difficult to burden the church with all kinds of things. A person who belongs to the church will protect the church, will stand up for it, will defend it in every situation at all times. For it is also about you personally, not just me or you, it is about all of us. And here we see that it is one thing to belong to the church in a purely outward sense, but quite another to share in it, to know oneself as part of the body of Christ, as the church brought together by Him. And that is what I wish for myself and for all of us. I say it openly, I am part of the church in this place. If anyone wants to take that away from me, then please take me straight to the cemetery. My life would no longer have any meaning. I am an integral part of the local church. Are you? I believe that you are. I believe that you are. I believe that we all are. But now we must recognize the biblical way and also take care to walk in the guidelines and boundaries of the Word. And now one word also about this, even if it does not quite fall within my area of responsibility. The first task of church elders is to deal with any problems that arise. Not the church, not individuals, but it starts somewhere with those who bear responsibility. Before it is brought before the church on any given day, and we will also ask God that our brothers who have been appointed by Him will be available to Him, that we may have confidence in them. Just imagine, it says in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe His prophets, so shall ye prosper. I have said it over and again in local churches. When people ask me, and also the preachers, pray for the sick, I say, only in a neutral hall, in an evangelistic meeting, where no local shepherd is responsible. Here, in the local church, the brothers of this congregation are responsible for that. For the trust of the church must not be placed in one man who holds three meetings and then is not heard or seen again for a year. The trust of a local church must be in the shepherds, in the elders of the local church. Amen? Amen. And we express our trust in our brothers. I have no trouble with that whatsoever. I could then speak even faster than I usually do. I believe God has given us this hint tonight. I wasn't looking for it. I was about to sit down again. God knows my heart. I didn't even have time to read any word for it. I hung up the phone and came here. God knows everything. And we say, as Peter said back then, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Even after certain failures in a person's life, when they come to the Lord, they will receive help. Peter failed 3 times, and 3 times the Lord asked him, Do you love me? And then it said, Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We love those whom God has loved and appointed. I have the inner impression that we needed this word. We needed it in order to lay a biblical foundation for the biblical build-up of a local church. I wish that God will continue to lead us in this direction, that He will help us, especially by giving us all humility to submit ourselves to His word. Then everything will be all right. And also our trust in Him and in our brothers. And God will make us prosper. God will reward us. And He will bless us from the riches of His grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray. We thank you for your precious and holy word. In the beginning, O Lord, you gave the first human beings the choice between obedience and disobedience, between faith and unbelief, Lord. And this theme runs through the entire Bible. Disobedience towards your word is like the sin of witchcraft. It brings a curse with it and tears everything to ruin. But obedience, submission, as it is written in Proverbs, is medicine for the whole body. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word today. We ask you to give us strength and grace and understanding and insight that we may know what to do and how to do it and find our place. Bless our brothers whom you have appointed, O Lord, and remember me when you do something in your kingdom, O Lord. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the part you have given us in preparing your people, in calling out and preparing your bride. Faithful Lord, you have taken the messenger, but you have left us the message, and it foreruns crystal clear like the sound of a trumpet through the nations, your coming. Lord, I thank you for this and pray for this local church to which I belong. Lord, strengthen us all and restore our obedience towards you. Bless all those who have recommended themselves to be prayed for in St. Gallen and wherever it may be, Lord. You know the needs. Grant us divine authority, general authority, to act in your name according to your word. Worship and honor be to your holy name. Amen.